Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Are you remembering things from, see, that's why I tell you, you get into the, you read the rest of the book, and then you come back and you read this, the law and the statutes in Deuteronomy, and you start to see things. And I'm seeing things here, you know. He shall not multiply wives to himself. Solomon had 600 wives, and I think concubines included was nearly 1,000. And he had multiplied his horses and everything that he had had. Just, but neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart not turn away. And what happened to Solomon? In his latter days, as wise as he was, he would import these wives. He liked exotic wives. He had one from every corner of the world. And whatever god they served, he'd build a temple for that god. And it says that right here. And this is several hundred years before Solomon came along. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart not turn away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. Wow. Every king is to transcribe this law himself with his own hand. What better way to ensure that your king knows the law? And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end, that he may prolong his days as in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Chapter 18, book of Deuteronomy. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. The priests, the Levite line of priests, did not get land. They were given cities within the different tribes' land, and God said he would feed them through the tithes that the people would bring. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, when that they offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep, and they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw. And the first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel where he sojourn, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, and he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord, they shall have like portions to eat, beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall be not be one found among you, any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive out from before thee. These people that we talked about a little earlier lived in the land of Canaan, had adopted all of these dark arts. And like I said, God had been working with them for years and years and years, and then they finally crossed the line, and we see there a list of all the horrible things they do. And what do the children of Israel begin to do? God says, he said many times in the past, when you go in here, you drive them all out, all of them. You make no covenants with any of them. We see that on the first few days when they're coming in. They will not listen. And if you know, you look at America, there's fortune tellers and wizards and Satanists and all over this country, and God says, I cannot bless a nation that has these things in her. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God, for these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. Familiar spirits, evil power in dark places, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. So the people feared God. They supposedly wanted to follow him all their heart, but when he would come to the camp, they feared him and they cried out that they didn't want to see him anymore. Mm-hmm. Although that's all he wanted, was to be their God and to be present there. That's why they built a tabernacle for him, to be present there with his people. So he says, you know, we're gonna go with just prophets from now on. I'm going to send you a prophet, and he will speak in my place. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded, speak him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of another God, even that prophet shall die. False prophets, God says, they should not be alive. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So, if what he says comes true, it's from me. Mm-hmm. If what he says doesn't, it's not. Chapter 19, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Understanding the Bible, chapter 19 of Deuteronomy. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast of thy lands, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, unto three parts, that every slayer may flee with thither. So, see, the law is so binding and so rigid. You can accidentally kill someone. Accidentally. Can you imagine? Traffic accident. Mm-hmm. You would have to flee to one of these cities, otherwise you'd be put to death. So you're out there chopping wood with your buddy Ahab, and the head of the axe flies off when you're coming down on the log, and it whips over there and stabs in Ahab's neck. And you know what? You try to help Ahab, you notice he dies. The first thing you do is run.
I was about to say run away.
Run. You think, the nearest city of refuge, I got to get there now, before they find Ahab's body.
Yes. Yes.
And as long as you stayed in that city, you could live your life. Or until the high priest died. And at that time, if the high priest died, you could go home and everything was forgotten about. But if you left that city before the high priest died, the Avenger of Blood would get you, the bounty hunter.
Waiting at the gate.
Yes, and didn't even have to take you back to the court. It could kill you right there on the spot. And he would be righteous in doing so under the law. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee whither, that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, without any premeditation, he accidentally did it, whom he hated not. He didn't hate him. They might have been friends in times past. As when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth off the heap, and lighten upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of these cities and live. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he?
I know.
Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot. and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him. That's what he said. You start running.
Yeah.
Whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in times past. He was not worthy. He was not worthy of death because he didn't mean to do it. But what does the law say?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not murder.
Right.
Thou shalt not kill. That's an improper translation. You see, this man was innocent. Whether the man desired to kill him or not, he murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, accidentally. But he was murdered because he should not have died. He had not sinned in any way, shape, or form that would require him to die. So the law does not bend. You can pick up a handful of dirt and it has a dead cockroach in it. You didn't know it. You're unclean.
Mm-hmm.
You have sinned. You can touch a doorknob that an unclean person has recently touched. You're sinful. You're unclean. You can accidentally kill your friend and you are guilty of murder, and you must flee to a city of refuge. God did put a little caveat in there for this type of thing where it was an accident, because the law is rigid, but God is a loving God and he's trying his hardest to navigate these people through this rigid law that he had to put on them, because they would not follow the first covenant of follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is an inwardly thing, a spiritual thing. The other is an outwardly thing, so that the folks around you can say, yeah, he's one of God's. Just like Jesus Christ said, follow me and be baptized in my name. The baptism doesn't get you to heaven. Baptism doesn't get you to God's kingdom. The man on the cross that said, please remember me, Lord, when you go into your kingdom. He didn't get baptized.
Mm-mm.
Jesus didn't say, oh, man, I wish we could baptize you. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
I can't help you. Baptism does nothing for you. It just shows the world that you belong to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Just like the circumcision. It's the same thing. And God goes on to say, you know, it's all about the heart. You must circumcise the heart. The flesh doesn't matter. God's not going to resurrect this pile of bones. He's going to resurrect the spirit man that's driving this pile of bones around. Verse 7, wherefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add three cities more for thee besides these three. So, if you do my statutes and follow my laws, I will enlarge this land, ever increasing. And we'll have to add more cities because, you know, if the nearest city of refuge is 500 miles away, there's no way the guy's going to get there. They're going to overtake him, guarantee you. So he is making plans for them to be expanded. But they don't ever get to that because they just can't follow God with all their heart. That innocent blood be not shed in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And so blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally, that he die and fleeth into one of these cities, and the elders of that city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. If you kill someone, if you murder someone intentionally, you're going to die for it. You can flee to one of these cities, but it's not going to help you. Thine eye shall not pity him. Thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land of the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. One witness shall not rise up against a man for an iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Talked about that earlier, how it takes more than one person to accuse you. If a false witness arise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. What an awesome, awesome idea.
Mm-hmm.
So if I falsely accuse you, Jonathan, of doing something, because I want you to go to jail for 2 years, because right. that's what it, you know, yeah, Jonathan did this, and the sentence will be 2 years in jail. Find out I'm lying, I must serve 2 years in jail.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And I'm talking, he's talking here about these cancers. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking earlier about, the, you know, worshiping other gods and idols and sacrificing your children. Those are the big cancers. But these little cancers become big things also. And you'll see that happens to the children of Israel because they do not remove these cancers from among them. And those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. If they find a perjury. How often do we hear about perjury?
Oh, yeah. Almost daily here.
Our leaders, our congressmen, our senators, government officials, perjury. Oh, they committed perjury. What happens to them, Jonathan?
Yeah. I mean, what's supposed to happen to them doesn't happen to them.
Nothing.
They get a slap on the wrist.
Nothing at all.
Yeah. If that.
Yeah. God says that whatever they were trying to put on to this other man will happen to them.
Uh-huh, to try them by that standard and hold them to
They would come up with that law. Mm-hmm. If it's found that you're perjuring,
oh yeah,
you will have the sentence that
yes.
the other person would have gotten.
Yes, you would see, I think, a whole revamp of the way that lawyers operate
oh,
and all sorts
big
of
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Chapter 20, book of Deuteronomy, David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You remember when Saul's armies on one side and the Philistines are on the other and Goliath standing in the middle, all them Hebrews on the other side quaking in their sandals.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What does he says right here? I don't care how many of them there are.
Yep.
Don't fear. God had to go get the little shepherd boy who had a heart to follow God, David.
Right.
To go over there and slay the giant in front of all these men of war. It's you know. The Hebrews just would not listen. Which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and it shall be... And it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. The Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house? And hath not dedicated it. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it yet? Let him also go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. You know, and the Israelites began a tradition of taking the Ark of the Covenant out before their army. And that was working pretty well. They were having great success and the battles were being won. And then God, knowing that their focus was on the fact that this artifact was going out ahead of them and not him, because he said right here, don't fear, I'm going to go ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Not my Ark of the Covenant, not any artifact. I am with you and you will be victorious. So he showed them there. They run the Ark out there one day and they all got wiped out and the Ark got stolen. You know, it's just, it's God says, follow me with all your heart in all that you do, and all will be well. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brother's heart faint as well as his heart. It shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it, And it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee. Give them the option of being your servants before you wipe them out. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it. And the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands. Thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women and the little ones and the cattle and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself. And thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. So God told them, in certain situations, you destroy everything in these cities because there is evil there. And evil, the presence of evil can't just be pushed away. In some situations, you've got to burn the entire place down. In some situations, don't ever build on this property again. Mm-hmm. Too much blood has been put in the soil. Too many babies has been sacrificed here. It will never be a worthy place to live. But on these cities here that are very far off from you, they have not done these things. You go in there and take these cities, you can have everything that they have. But of the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Because those are the ones that we just went a few minutes earlier and said that they have, there shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto me, and these are the things that the people are doing in the land that I'm driving them out of. Spiritual wickedness and darkness. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time, and making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in a siege. Only the trees which thou knowest, that they do be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. Thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. Common sense for an army of the time. If you're into a siege, which might take a year, don't cut all the apple trees down and make handles for your spears. Cut the pine trees down. You can eat from the apple tree. Mm-hmm. All right, you've been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. And another day in God's Word is a good day in the book of Deuteronomy. A little bit laborious today, trying our hardest to make it fun and exciting. But we will be on to some really cool storylines here shortly. You can catch all the past episodes, and I ask you to do it. There are things you have never heard in your church, I guarantee you, starting with version 1 on WVFFradio.com. Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.